WLFP Braddock.
Good morning, Pittsburgh travelers and diners, and good afternoon to our overseas listeners, and good morning to Peter.
And good morning to California. We have someone from California online already this morning.
Yes, and hello, Dave.
You're confusing me. You introduce the show differently every week now.
Well, I'm a little off, off course here. Dave.
Hi.
You are a legend. I was so excited. It took my breath away that I was going to actually be speaking to you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
No, I've been following you through all the your fancy food show awards and all. This is Dave Hirschkopf of Dave's Gourmet. And, Dave, you're in California. Tell us exactly. I'm not sure I understand the whole breadth of your line, but I noticed it was a lot more than I thought. I thought it was mainly hot sauces, but we got all kinds of things.
Yeah, quite frankly, we get confused. But we specialize in innovative food items, so heirloom tomato pasta sauces, hot sauces. You know, almost 20 different hot sauces, including one that you can adjust the heat by turning.
Oh, now that was a winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's been a great thing for us.
Why didn't anybody think of that before?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, right now there's probably, 10 million great ideas out there that people haven't done yet. But, just the coincidence of the two right thoughts banging together sometimes.
Now, did you invent these?
Which?
Turn the top of the jar to get the heat adjusted.
Well, I didn't invent that jar. That jar was already being used for suntan lotion.
That's funny, and you thought you could apply it then to the sauce, huh?
We just thought, wow, that'd be perfect for hot sauce. You know, you can pick the heat you want.
Well, you have all these wonderful packaging ideas, like the salts, where you can select your salt, all the different salts.
Right, different salts in one shaker, and different kinds of chilies in one shaker. So certainly, there's some packaging things, but. We're making a pretty soon coming out the line of salsas that will be coming out of Mexico, and they're much more sort of authentic taqueria style. So again, trying to focus on something a little different.
And what's that? When would that happen?
That'll happen probably in the fall. We're still working on the formulas.
Do you have two weeks?
We're coming out with the presidential hot sauces.
That's
a line of hot sauces dedicated to caricaturing all the presidential candidates.
What a hoot! I want to come work at your company. You must have fun.
Could you? Do you have a couple of clues for us as to what the flavors are associated with perhaps a Democratic front runner and a Republican front runner?
Well, they're all the same flavor because we early on found that people were like, "Well, this guy's hot and that's not," and we don't want to take a position. We're in the middle, so we do have quotes from the candidates on all the labels, sort of because they've all said some pretty silly things. And all the profits go to the American Cancer Society. And on our site, we have a tracking poll that will be up in 2 weeks. So you can see who's winning the race based on...
Ah, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have something new in the Fancy Food Show this year?
Well, the presidential hot sauces will be the thing we'll really be talking about at the Fancy Food Show. And we have a 12-pack of miniature hot sauces that's fairly new.
Yeah, you sent those. They're cool.
Yeah, so that'll be at the show. And then...
what's your booth number?
Our booth number at the Fancy Food Show. I'll look that up.
I'll get it from the catalog.
Don't worry, Dave. We'll be able...
I want to see the presidential line, actually.
But the funny thing is, is there an underlying political message that the sauce is actually all the same?
I will let people interpret that themselves.
Does it really make any difference? Huh?
No, and we also have a presidential potato head game that goes with that on our site. You can sort of mix and match facial features from different candidates.
Oh, we better give us the website so that people can start playing with that one right away.
Yeah, that'll be up in 2 weeks, but our website is davesgourmet.com.
Yeah.
davesgourmet.com.
Right.
And Dave, where did you come from? I mean, did you study to do this or train to do sauces and packaging?
No, I grew up in Virginia and I knocked around over the years, through restaurants, in kitchen or waiting tables or bartending. And then I opened my own little Mexican restaurant in Maryland.
Oh.
And we had a lot of drunk college kids in there. They drove me nuts. So I used to make really hot sauces to just, you know, teach them a lesson.
Oh, my.
And it just really caught on, you know, and became like a cult following. And then the hot sauce company became a specialty food company, and now we have, you know, jams for cheese, and we have flavored honeys and spice rubs.
Yeah, now what's that, the palate line?
Uh-huh, the Palate Fine Foods.
And how did you get that? Did you acquire somebody?
Right, we bought a Canadian company 2 years ago that was doing those, and those are more specialized. You know, we make a lot of Williams-Sonoma products there. And then, you know, we have the Chili Today Hot Tamale, do a lot of chili powders and things like that.
Right.
And then, you know, under the our white label, the Dave's Gourmet label, we have a really different, you know, natural-oriented pasta sauces.
Yeah, like an organic pasta sauce is so perfect. That's
Well, we're having a cowboy steak with Dave's cinnamon spice rub tonight.
Oh, great.
Accompanied by some mushrooms that will be roasted on the grill, and I suspect we might find a little porcini dust powder on those, too.
Excellent. What time should I be there?
You can just come right up. If you jump on a plane right now, you'll be here in time for dinner.
Well, you know, I mean, this seems to be growing apace. You're laughing because I said you were a legend, but I've always heard about Dave, of Dave's Gourmet. And so when I asked you who we might be interviewing, you said Dave, my heart went pitter-patter. You're my hero.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, we've certainly been somewhat high profile, and I think it's just because we focus on doing a lot of things that are very sort of different, innovative, and not the same old thing.
Now, somewhere in here, you moved as well. So from the Mexican restaurant where you got your own back on college students by poisoning them with hot chili sauce, you got from there to San Francisco somehow.
I don't know if poisoning is the word I would have chose, but no, early on, you know, the first year of our business, I moved back out to California, and it's great out here. I love it. And we're very close to our ingredients out here, so that's helpful also.
Right. How big a company is it, Dave?
I mean, we're small. There's nine of us. We actually don't make the products. We design all the formulations and packaging, and then we let other people do the manufacturing part.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're real focused on just the you know, innovative part.
So you're an idea farm.
Yeah, in a sense we are. Yeah, we like to come up with lots of ideas, some of which people like and some of which are pretty silly.
Where do you think all this the spicy trends are going? I sort of follow this with, I'm getting much more of this, what do you call it, superfood stuff now, rather than even just flavor. Energy drinks and superfoods and all these berries from South America. And I mean, it seems to be that kind of a trend.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, improvements continue to occur with logistics and transportation and storage and agriculture, and those things have driven a lot of availability. So people are able to get more varieties of chilies and more varieties of fruits, and so they can be exposed to more things. And with travel and cooking shows and ethnic populations growing in this country, the demand for different things continues to grow. So, you know, you're seeing a lot of Asian and South American fruits, you know, nutraceutical fruits,
yes.
Like mangosteen and noni fruit and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just talking to that Adams people about the mangosteen nectar.
Yeah, and, you know, and that has its place. And, you know, I think that the challenge there, you know, like the low-carb craze is that, you know, the substantiation of that, I think, is thin.
See, I want to know, if somebody's telling me that this is an energy thing, how much of it do I have to eat or drink to get this effect?
With hot sauce, it's sort of easier to tell.
Yeah.
You have immediate taste delivery.
I mean, I've been stuffing these jungle peanuts down my throat, and I have no idea what it's doing for me.
If you eat enough, it will make you fat. That's for sure. But it's just that you only have so many sensations when you eat. So, you know, you only have so many sets of taste buds. And then you have, you know, your umami, the fifth
right.
thing. And so spicy is just another sensation. So it, I think it rounds out the eating experience with a lot of items. And the whole health and nutraceutical trend is, you know, is a whole separate category.
Now, how do our listeners get your product? Are they in distribution in places like Whole Foods?
We have our pasta sauces, especially in a lot of Whole Foods. Otherwise, you know, we're Cost Plus and some different places. Tops, I know, has been a good customer over the years. But otherwise, they can always go to our website, davesgourmet.com, or call us, and we'll try to find a place near them.
Will you ship as well, David?
Yeah, we ship all over the world.
All over the world? Fine. Wow, there you go.
All over the world. I have a photograph of the bottle in the South Pole, I think it is.
You're kidding.
No, it's lots of pictures from Iraq and Afghanistan and parts of Africa. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you have, it's like that gnome. You collect photos of this.
I can't say I collect them, but people send them.
So,
we're happy to have them. It's fun.
Well, I'm going to check and stop by the Fancy Food Show to see what this presidential series is. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a couple weeks away. And in fact, if you like it enough and you want to buy, I don't know, I forget what it is, like 10 cases worth, we can put your caricature on there and you can run for president.
I
don't think we want to try that one.
Well, listen, you're going to be there. I hope we get to see you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll be right there at the booth.
Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in. And I look forward to seeing you.
Well, thank you. It'll be great.
All right.
Have a great day, David.
You too.
Okay,
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
And we'll take a break.
T1 Internet access wasn't affordable to many companies as little as 2 years ago. Service providers were charging in the thousands of dollars, keeping the benefits of a T1 connection out of most companies' reach. ASP Station is now offering the faster and more reliable T1 service at a price significantly less than 2 years ago. The speed of a T1 for both sending and receiving data is simply amazing and will change the way your business runs indefinitely. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go fast.
Call ASP Station now for details. 412-661-6001. That's 412-661-6001. Log on aspstation.net for more information. ASP Station, it's the way to go. Fast.
Hi, everyone. This is Tom Rita, the networking guy and host of Pittsburgh's most unique business show, Business in the Fast Lane. We're on every Saturday morning from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on The Edge, 1550 a.m. For the past 24 months, we've been bringing the best and the brightest into our studios to offer you ideas, advice, and real-world examples to help you grow your business. So save those honeydews for the afternoon and join me, Tom Rita, every Saturday morning from 12 to 1 on The Edge for Business in the Fast Lane, Pittsburgh's best kept secret.
Teach your child the responsible use of online resources. Tell them up front what your rules are for internet use and the consequences of breaking them. Take some time to explore valuable uses of the internet with your child. This safety tip brought to you by Pennsylvania Learners Online Cyber School. For more information on how your child can attend classes from home at no cost to you, visit www.palearnersonline.net or call the Allegheny Intermediate Unit at 412-394-5700.
Well, I was a little nervous. First time I went into an elementary school classroom as a junior achievement volunteer. But when I saw how eager the kids were, I knew it was going to be all right. They're so thrilled you're there.
If you've ever wondered what you can do to help kids expand their horizons, find out about our new elementary school volunteer program. Call 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. That's 1-800-THE-NEW-JA. A public service message brought to you by Junior Achievement and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And don't forget to check out what we're up to. OnTheMenuRadio.com.
Yeah, we're always up to something.
And we have a new guest on the line, Wendy Friedman of Heavenly Soufflé. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, listen, you made us the most popular couple in the neighborhood.
We love to hear that because we've been
doling out our supply of Heavenly Soufflés, and everyone absolutely adores them.
They're wonderful. Thank you.
You better explain it for our listeners, because they don't know what we're talking about. This is the ultimate in convenience food, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead, tell us what it is.
What we've done is try to take a dessert that was very intimidating to most people, but everybody always said was their absolute favorite dessert when they traveled or went to high-end restaurants, which is the chocolate souffle. And we tried to make it so anybody could do it, so it was very easy. It could be in your freezer at any time, and in 20 minutes you could have a hot, perfect souffle on your table.
Now, I mean, is this not brilliant? Listeners, I mean, you just stock your freezer and you're prepared if anybody drops in or... Yeah. You know, if you forgot to deal with it when you're having a dinner party, it's fabulous.
Yeah, they come already in a dish.
Yeah. And you get to keep the
dish. Yeah, you don't have to turn the dish back in.
What we do is we freeze our uncooked batter into individual ceramic ramekins.
All you do
is take the ramekin out of the freezer, and it's ready to go onto your table as soon as it comes out of the oven.
Oh, you have to put it in the oven in between. Oh, I would have missed out that step.
We can't make it that easy.
No. Where are you located?
I'm in Manhattan.
You are in Manhattan.
I'm in Manhattan, and our kitchen facility is right outside of Manhattan in New Jersey.
Okay.
My partner and I, neither of us have a culinary background.
Okay.
But we both love to cook and are serious chocoholics.
I see.
We believe that chocolate is the cure-all for everything. And we both love to cook and made desserts and would love to have dinner parties. And as both working moms, both having two children, mm-hmm. it became more and more difficult for us to serve great dessert after our dinner parties because we just had so much else going on. So we started making more and more of them and being able to freeze them.
So people loved them. So first of all, you made them at home just for yourself, huh?
Yes. So we made them at home for ourselves and for our friends and... Like all the stories, everybody loved them, raved about them, we should sell them, but I mean, people always say that, and one day we just decided we were going to see if we could do it. So we actually rented kitchen space in a school in Long Island City, a local school, and we used to cook in the evening from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Oh, my.
And the business we launched in February of 2006.
Wow, it's new business.
Yeah, so we're just over a year. We're in about 35 stores in the tri-state area. We have a fairly large private label business.
Oh, I see.
Locally and nationally. We do for these meal delivery services nationally. We do like the Frick Museum in Manhattan, caterers. We have an online business. If you go to www.heavenlysoufflé.com, you can order. We ship nationally. We ship with dry ice.
Yes, and there's not a glitch, by the way. One of the reasons I was really curious to see how you're going to get them delivered, something that's frozen like that and delicate. And there was no glitch at all. It came perfectly as you described it.
Oh, good. We're so happy to hear that. Chocolate right now is our only flavor for retail. For our private label and on our website, we have chocolate mint and raspberry. And for the holidays, we do pumpkin.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you do have more than one product then?
We do, that we have on our website and for our private label. We haven't put into a box and got out to the retail shelves yet, which that is in our future. It's just kind of keeping up with everything that we're doing now.
But isn't there an awful lot of science that you had to, I mean, it's not that easy. Freezing something that's air-driven, or how would you describe it?
Delicate. It's a delicate, and it really was a lot of trial and error for us. What we ended up doing is we ended up like most people who are starting companies, we sold our product first. We went to somebody, showed it to them, and they loved it. And we had a couple months to get them the product, and we just kind of worked around the clock.
Did a lot of research.
We do everything by hand. We started with...
You do it all by hand?
Yeah, right now we do everything by hand.
Yeah, but you're going to have to do something different.
Yeah, so we're at a stage where we're kind of moving to the next level, but it's very much a labor of love for us.
Well, may I predict that I think it's going to take off.
Thank you. We're excited. We're actually July 8th through 10th, we'll be at the Fancy Food Show.
Oh, good. We'll be there, so we should stop by and see you.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and...
The we is you and your friend Roxanne Cam, right?
Yes.
So we have... The company's called RW Delights...
And that's Roxanne and Wendy.
So W is Wendy, and Roxanne must be stirring up the dough, I guess.
Yes.
Is that what you call it?
Is.
Dough?
Exactly.
Batter.
Okay. I knew dough was the wrong word.
Yeah, I mean, he actually cooks. He doesn't bake, but he does cook, Peter.
Well, Anne doesn't bake either.
This stuff's a godsend.
Most importantly, you eat. That's the most important thing, enjoying it.
Now, are you projecting growing the company as opposed to expanding your product line right now?
We do expect to grow our company. We expect to expand our product line into other flavors of soufflés as well as possibly other products. We're really trying to manage our growth because, like many small companies that become successful quickly, it's very easy to get sidetracked.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that we are able to service our existing accounts and really keep the quality of the product as we grow.
This is the thing, I think, is the quality is so high that's what was going to sell. It's not just the fact that it's convenient, but the people they're going to be proud to serve it at their dinner parties.
I get people who order 12 or 24 at a time and serve them at dinner parties and never tell anyone. They didn't make them themselves.
Why would you tell?
The only reason we had to tell the people we gave them to is because we delivered them in the packaging out of the freezer. Otherwise, you would have claimed they were ours.
So really, for us, our priority is being able to grow and maintain that quality.
Hey, listen, we're getting another caller in here. You might want to meet, by the way.
Okay.
Do we have Daniel?
Yes.
Hey, Daniel. It's Ann and Peter Haig. And we have also on the other line, we are just wrapping up an interview with Wendy Friedman, who has made this incredible, she's building a company called Heavenly Soufflé. And you get these frozen in the mail, and you can pretend that you're a fancy pastry chef. 20 minutes is all you need in the oven.
Yeah.
So, Wendy.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm a very big fan of your restaurant.
I was just about to, so you know his restaurant already. Okay, I was just about to explain who he was. And isn't he so talented?
Yes.
Yes.
I think any foodie in the New York area would know.
Oh, great. Anything you'd like to say to Daniel?
Daniel, I'd love to have the opportunity to bring you some of my souffles.
Yeah, I would love to see him and eat him and experience the 20 minutes.
There we go. You're doing a little business on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Wendy, one more time, your website.
Our website is www.heavenlysouffle.com.
Thank you again for introducing us to this wonderful product and for talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
And hopefully we'll see you at the Fancy Food Show.
Great.
All right, I'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
And Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Daniel, as far as I'm concerned, you're the 2007 Rising Star Chef.
Oh.
I'm still trying to, one of them. I can't repeat what I heard you muttering at the reception afterwards. I didn't realize those words were in Swiss.
Yeah.
I thought they were English.
Yeah.
For our listeners' benefit, although Wendy knows you and we know you, you are the chef de cuisine at 11 Madison Park in Manhattan. And could you share with our listeners some of your background? You have sort of an interesting background.
I grew up in Zurich in Switzerland, and I started cooking when I was 14 years old. My dad is an architect, and he actually wanted me to become an architect. And he took me, I did a lot of internships at a very young age with different architects, and he took me to some of the dinners when they closed the deal and stuff like that. And he wanted to show me the good life of an architect, but I really experienced the great restaurants.
Daniel, can we need to take a break for a commercial. Can you hang around for a little bit, just for a couple minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you go and hold, and we'll take a break.
Furnace working okay? How's your heating bills? You know, no kidding, an old or inefficient furnace can really add to the cost of keeping your home warm. If you want to keep costs down, get your furnace looked at, and I recommend Bolster DeHart Heating and Air Conditioning for that. The technicians at Bolster DeHart have been performing routine maintenance and installing high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems in Pittsburgh since 1977. They're EPA-certified professionals who are continually factory-trained in all the latest installation and service techniques. They offer free estimates and don't even charge extra for Saturday service. They're a quality dealer you can trust. Stay warm this winter at the lowest possible cost. Call Bolster DeHart Heating and Air Conditioning at 412-367-3900. Maintenance or installation, Bolster DeHart Heating and Air Conditioning, 412-367-3900.
Did you know that Pennsylvania has a seatbelt law? We do, and we're enforcing it. This is Colonel Miller, Commissioner of the Pennsylvania State Police. If you are stopped and cited for speeding or any other violation, and you are not wearing your seatbelt, you are liable to get two tickets. One for speeding, one for not wearing your seatbelt. That's two tickets, two fines. When it comes to seatbelts, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by Governor Edward G. Rendell, the Pennsylvania State Police, and PennDOT.
The internet is crucial to your business. Everybody knows this, but did you know Nidhogg is the company you should call for internet service? Nidhogg, personal web page hosting for less. Business web page hosting, Nidhogg offers both Unix and NT server support. Nidhogg is the company you should call for dedicated internet access. Nidhogg offers DSL for high speed, low cost, always on access. DSL is great. It means no more dial up. Oh, by the way, do you remember that thing called the telephone? Do you remember when people used phone lines to access the internet? Oh, I'm sorry, you still use dial-up? Well, Nidhogg does that too. Local access telephone numbers. Okay, I don't understand it all either, but I do know that I need it, and I know where to get it. Nidhogg, Nidhogg.com, 412-661-5917. That's 661-5917, or log on, Nidhogg.com. Internet the Nidhogg way.
The flagship station of the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is 1550 WLFP, Pittsburgh.
Nobody in his right mind would lie on a sheet of glass and have a steamroller crush his body. Nobody in his right mind would try to levitate from 500 feet above the Las Vegas Strip. But Chris Angel isn't in his right mind. That's what makes him the Mind Freak. Tomorrow on A&E, it's the mind-blowing hit series, Chris Angel, Mind Freak. Mind Freak! Tomorrow at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
Hi, friends. I'm Phil Marcus, the host of Real Estate 101, heard every Saturday here on The Edge, AM 1550. If you've been thinking about selling your house or buying a house, I'd like to speak with you. Choosing the right agent is one of the first and most important steps in the process of buying or selling real estate. It's critical that you choose an agent who has the knowledge and experience to not only find that perfect new home for you, but to also be able to guide you step by step through the often complicated real estate process. If you don't already have a realtor, may I offer my services? I've been a real estate agent in Pittsburgh for almost 30 years. I'm a life member of the Realtors Association, and I'm proud to say that I've earned both the GRI and the coveted CRS professional designations. Won't you call me at RE/MAX Heritage? The phone number is 412-241-4200, extension 154, or my email address is phil@philmarcus.com. That's 412-241-4200, extension 154, or phil@philmarcus.com. Let's talk.
Welcome back on the menu with Ann and Peter Haig and our guest, Daniel Hum, a chef de cuisine at the fabulous 11 Madison Park restaurant in Manhattan. And we were just talking over the break about the fact that he likes New York and what he does. But jump back to you're telling us about the architecture was not the life that really appealed to you, despite
right.
the fact that your father wanted it.
I started cooking, I decided to start cooking when I was 14, and I did an apprenticeship in a hotel in Zurich, the Hotel Borolac, and I was there for 4 years, and after that I moved on, and I worked in the French part of Switzerland, where I spent most of my time at a restaurant called Le Pont de Bron. It's a 3-star Michelin restaurant, and where I also found my mentor, Gérard Rabé, which is an incredible chef, and he taught me the discipline. And the hardest part about cooking is that you have to do it over and over and over again.
Right.
With an architect, it's hard work also, but when you finished a building, then the building is there, and then that's it, and you do something else. But for us, if we create a dish and the dish is great, then we gotta reproduce it over and over and over again. And I think that's it's very challenging, and I learned that working with this chef. After that, I was offered a chef position at the age of 24, a little bit outside of Zurich, where in the first year we received a Michelin star, and that was Discovery of the Year by Gomio, another
guy.
Wow,
that's amazing, huh?
And so from then on, I always thought after working with Rabé, things would become a little bit easier and a little bit less hours of work, but it was actually the opposite. after I left there, it just became more and more. But I also had a lot of fun doing it.
Now, how did you find your way to New York?
I was recruited from Campton Place in San Francisco.
So
you got to the United States first.
Yeah.
Well, how did you come directly to San Francisco?
Yes. The general manager from Campton Place, he was, you know, he became aware of it through a friend of him who is also Swiss, that I was doing some good things. And so he called me and he invited me to come to California and check it out. And I was, in the beginning, very skeptical about it because I did not speak English and I have never been to the United States before that.
Oh, wow.
But then I came and we went and ate at a couple great restaurants. So as, you know, the French Laundry. And
that was your first
restaurant? Yeah, they took me there. And
I bet they did.
to impress me, and they did. And so I decided to come to America. And, you know, I had a great time in California. We worked really hard, but we also, by the end, we were rewarded with 4 stars.
Now, you must know our old friend Gary Danko, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think your approach to food is quite similar.
Do you think so?
I'm not sure. Like I ate there once. I'm not too familiar with his food, actually.
Okay. All right.
Well, what? How would you describe your approach to food?
I think it's definitely, you know, I'm French trained, and we're using a lot of classic techniques, but at the same time, classic techniques and also classic flavors. But at the same time, we're very open to new ideas, to new techniques. But one thing is really important to me that, you know, for me, like, if you have a perfect heirloom tomato with a little bit of sea salt and some fresh basil and some nice olive oil on top, there is nothing really that can be better. But we can't really serve that at the restaurant because you can do that at home. So we try to capture these flavors and, you know, do, for example, a tomato sorbet with a basil oil to kind of take that idea and make it our knowledge into it.
Listeners, I mean, this is really wild food. I mean, here's like California strawberry gazpacho with Hawaiian prawns and guanciale. I mean, where else do you get that?
We're actually pretty proud of this dish.
It's a fabulous dish.
We started working with, you know, we like to incorporate fruits into the savory food because you always look for a balance between sweet, acidic, saltiness, and we like to use the fruit as being the sweet. And just like with the gazpacho, you have the sweetness of the strawberry, but then you have the, you know, we have cucumbers in there, we have olive oil, we have a little bit of tomatoes in there, and then we also have a little bit of vinegar to give the acidity, and then the guanciale definitely gives, you know, the saltiness, and it's just such a wonderful combination. And when you eat it, you know, when you eat it, you almost think, like, why did I not come up with this before? Because it almost seems natural.
Natural, it does.
It doesn't seem weird, or it almost seems it's meant to be together.
But you're having fun also with ingredients that are American ingredients too, like Columbia River smoked sturgeon.
Yeah.
And then you've got some Oregon morels.
Yes.
What could be wrong with Oregon morels? And I mean, then you've got the great
here's,
stuff.
Here's, which lobster did you have? The one slow-cooked with garden peas, carrots, and coconut? Or did you have the one poached with Florence, fennel, and chamomile?
No, I had the one with the poached.
I can't remember that. Every dish was so fabulous. You can usually remember one over the others because it was so much better. But there was no way to pick it out.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and it was very first visit to 11 Madison. I'd never thought of it as an exciting place. But,
yeah.
But when we had Danny Meyer on the show, he raved about it and pointed us to that.
That's great.
So I was all revved up for it. And I was not disappointed. I fell in love with it as a restaurant and with your cooking.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So what's next now? You're happy in New York.
You know, I'm very happy in New York. Very happy how the direction the restaurant is going. And we're still far away from where it can be. I think we did a great job during the first year, but now we just need to make sure we keep improving and we keep getting better and creating new dishes and creating new guest experiences and just always keep going. That's what's important, because there's so many great restaurants in New York. And
it's tough competition.
We are right now, a lot of people talk about us, and we got to make sure it stays that way. And that's almost harder than what we did so far. So we have our hands full, and I'm very, excited about coming to work every day.
How do you improve on perfection?
Oh, you know, there is definitely still a lot of things. We're not perfect yet, and a lot of things we could get better, and I don't think we're anything near perfect.
Okay, so how long should we wait to come back and find out if you got more perfect?
You know, I really think we are almost every week we're getting better. It's also, it's a lot about putting systems in place. As far as educating the staff, we're just putting together a big manual of a menu manual, which we explain every single dish, every ingredient, every farmer, every cooking technique, any allergies. And I think in that area, we can get a lot better.
It's gotten tougher, I think, for chefs and restaurants. Because, I don't remember ever hearing about half these allergies that everybody's got now, food allergies.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
there is a lot of allergies, and we got to take it very seriously, because some people are like really, really allergic to certain things. Our job is to really pay attention to these allergies and make sure we serve what we can and not what we shouldn't.
Hmm. Now go ahead.
No.
You go out and run through the park every day, huh?
Yeah, in the morning, before I get in here, I usually go for a run in Central Park just to clear out my head. And actually, a lot of ideas come while I'm running, because when you run, nobody can email you. They can email you, but you can't see it, or nobody can call you. So the running is like really for yourself. Nobody really bothers you while you're running, and I really enjoy that in the morning.
Uh-huh. Do you have some new ingredients that you're really excited about?
Right now, it's just really exciting, because if you go to the farmer's market, almost every week it changes and new things come in, and they're not really new ingredients, but they're just, the asparagus, the TriStar.
Yeah. Let's talk about those we'll take a break. If you can hang on, Daniel, and then we'll talk about those ingredients on the other side for commercials.
Okay.
All right, so we'll take a break.
An Old West preacher.
You a religious man?
At the moment, I'm on sabbatical.
Is forced to take justice into his own hands.
That's my church. They're gone. Murdered.
So he came back for revenge.
All right, let's ride.
They got guns and they'll use them.
They both want it, dead or alive. You choose.
Kevin Sorbo is Avenging Angel. premieres tomorrow night at 9, 8 central, only on Hallmark Channel.
Did you know that Pennsylvania has a seatbelt law? We do, and we're enforcing it. This is Colonel Miller, Commissioner of the Pennsylvania State Police. If you are stopped and cited for speeding or any other violation, and you are not wearing your seatbelt, you are liable to get two tickets. One for speeding, one for not wearing your seatbelt. That's two tickets, two fines. When it comes to seatbelts, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by Governor Edward G. Rendell, the Pennsylvania State Police, and PennDOT.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Join us for the Apollo moon landing celebration July 17th through the 21st, Apollo PA. 5 great days of family fun, featuring the award-winning Katanning Fireman's Band, games and rides for the kids, nightly entertainment, food. It's just good old summer fun. The Apollo moon landing celebration, July 17th through the 21st at Owens Field in Apollo.
Roger. We copy you down, Eagle.
A message for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
If you find that you have to drive at night, travel in well-lighted areas when possible.
Make sure your headlights are clean.
Keep your windshield clear, both inside and out.
Avoid driving at night in the rain or other foul weather.
Also, try to avoid busy streets or other stressful situations.
It's what makes an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig, and our guest on the line from New York, Chef Daniel Hamm of 11 Madison Park. And we were just talking about exciting ingredients and how he gets stimulated by these ingredients. You go to the markets, Daniel.
Yeah, we're using the Union Square market like three times during the week.
Do you go to the farms, too? Do you go out to farms?
We do go out to farms to visit the people, but then we're, you know, a lot of farms are coming to New York and delivering to us. But it's very important that the relationships, because, you know, every farm has prime ingredients, and then they have some that's a little bit lower quality. And
right.
We will always, the better your relationship is, the better is your product that comes to the restaurant. And we definitely try to have really close relationships with a lot of the farmers.
Right. And you said also that you're venturing into a new territory with cheese.
Yeah, it's not totally new to me, but it's new to the restaurant. And from me being from Switzerland, cheese is kind of a big thing. And
where was that,
you know,
cheese? The pictures that I wanted to, Was it Switzerland or was it Amsterdam with the cows that look so happy?
It's probably Switzerland.
Could be. I don't know. I was thinking about cheese carts for just a second. I thought
okay,
that's what you were going to ask me about, because we were at the restaurant at the Hotel Trianon in Versailles, and their cheese selection was so large they had 3 carts.
Wow.
And they were all filled. I mean, how you were supposed to decide what you wanted?
Yeah,
that was the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I'm really overwhelmed by that, by those cheese carts, because everything looks good.
Well, we're trying to have it a little bit more limited. We also have 2 carts because of the size of the restaurant, but we have probably about 12 or 14 different cheeses,
and
change them seasonally. But I think for us to keep them all at the best quality, and we couldn't go more than that. I think if you have 50 different cheeses, it's very hard to keep up that every single cheese is perfect on the card.
Yeah, I think the Hotel Trianon was just a little bit overdone.
Yeah.
Remember we went to that tiny little overlooked magnificent rustic scene in Italy, and they had a teeny tiny restaurant, and they had those carts that you could hardly maneuver them between the tables. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but it was a big feature. So Daniel's right. I mean, you have to be able to turn the product over.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be able to use it in a reasonable period of time.
Yeah.
I remember we had a fabulous lunch at a roadside restaurant right across the valley from the Roquefort Caves.
Uh-huh.
And they had
4 varieties.
4 different kinds on the cheese plate. And lunch was $10.
Wow.
this is only one of the courses. So you have to, you know, the product is there, And I guess people like artisanal are bringing it into the United States, and there are some great cheeses here too.
Right, absolutely.
And you mustn't forget the great English cheeses too.
Yeah.
Now, tell me this. Are you active in that great community of chefs in Manhattan? I mean, everybody seems to have such a great time together.
No, it is. It's incredible how it's very different to Europe. Chefs here in America are a lot more open and talking to each other. And I think with great relationships that I have to other chefs, my food, and I hope their food, it gets better as well, because we're sharing ideas and we're, you know, sharing suppliers and we're sharing what we come up with. And I think it helps everybody, and it's pretty amazing. The only thing is we don't have that much time, so everybody's working so hard, and sometimes the time is the problem to get together.
Well, you don't hang out the middle of the night or early mornings of the night, because that's where everybody seems to hang out.
Yeah, you know, once a while we have a little party, sometimes here at the restaurant or somebody else's restaurant, but what we do is hard work, and you can't be partying all the time, so...
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, to be honest.
Can you share with us, perhaps with our listeners, a couple of chefs in New York who are really among your favorites or your heroes?
You know, we had, after the James Beard Awards, we had a party here at the restaurant, and Daniel Boulud came over, and a big part of his staff. And
oh, they're wonderful.
And it was pretty awesome, and the whole staff of 11 Madison Park was really excited about it, because he's really awesome, and
he's wonderful.
He's definitely one of my favorite people in this business.
There's
definitely Thomas Keller. You know, his operation is amazing, and it's very inspiring, and it makes us young chefs work really hard and look up to all these chefs. Then, you know, Sean Schorsch, Eric Repair. There's a lot of amazing people here in New York.
You know, when you think, I still think that New York's the best restaurant city in the world. Some people say London, some people say Paris. I think New York is unquestionably the best. You certainly have high quality talent and great variety and very high standards.
Absolutely. I don't think there needs to be a best. I think all these cities that you said, they're awesome and they're amazing, and they're unique as well.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been to London lately, but it must be pretty incredible as well.
It is, and you also have this camaraderie with the young chefs, particularly.
What's so great about London is the food used to be really terrible.
That's why it's such big news.
So it's big news because it's such an enormous improvement.
Right.
And I think New York has grown tremendously over the years. But it was always such a magnet for rich people from around the world and rich people from the United States that the demand existed. And where there's a demand, people are going to come and fill that demand.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it's not so very long ago that Danielle came over himself for the first time.
He's a brilliant man. He's so encouraging with young talent. It's just amazing. When we come into New York next time, We're going to be at Danielle, which is the last one, because we've been to all of his other restaurants, and we've been to all of Union Square Group, except for we watched but didn't actually go to the Shake Shack.
Yeah,
but we have tasted the.
It requires some weight sometimes.
On a
nice day, you got to have some time, but.
Right, but I mean, we've been to Modern, we've been to the bar there, we've been to. I wanted to say we did taste the burger though, and the Miami Burger Bash at South Beach. So
which they won?
Yeah, well, it was good.
Yeah,
you know, that was very good. Of course, I guess Danielle's burger was good too from the bistro, right?
Right.
Was DB Bistro Modern there? I'm not sure.
Yes, I think so. Who else had foie gras on their burger?
I don't remember. There were so many burgers. We liked the one from Shake Shack. I do remember that. Now let's for everybody's benefit, because we're talking here as if everybody in the whole world knows where 11 Madison Park is, but I'm sure they don't. So it's on at the bottom end, at the very bottom of Madison Avenue, right opposite Madison Park. And if you go in one side of the building, it's Floyd Cardoza's wonderful tabla. And if you go in the other side of the building, it's Daniel Hum's wonderful 11 Madison Park. So that just, listeners, for those of you who actually didn't know where it was, and you can get to information about the restaurant via Union Square Hospitality Group's main website.
Which is? It's some initial, U.S., what is it?
U.S.H.G.
Yeah, it's USHGNYC.com. And all the restaurants are listed on there, Daniel?
Yes, every restaurant is on there.
Great.
And we also have a own website, which is 11MadisonPark.com. And we actually just renewed the website, and we did new pictures of the food. And,
oh, really? That's
great. We're very proud of our new website. So,
well, have everybody go there.
Yeah, everybody should check it out and see what we're doing.
Great. Well, is there anything else we're winding down time-wise that you'd like to say to our listeners, Daniel?
You have a worldwide audience here, so you can talk to your mother and father if you'd like.
Yeah.
Say hi.
No, it's just, you know, I hope whoever travels to New York, and we would love to have you at the restaurant and show what we're doing.
And listeners, here's what you do. You say, Chef Daniel, we're coming in, and we want you to do an opposite course tasting menu for us so that we range as much as possible. You cheated a little bit and served us the Royal Stilling Caviar, the Provence Asparagus, and the California Strawberry Gazpacho. We got the same things there. But then all of a sudden you let loose. What are you pointing one at me? Does it mean it's just 1 minute to go?
We're
running out of time. Well, we're supposed to run out of time.
Okay, Daniel, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, here comes the music, so we definitely
this
are
is
out of here.
This is Best Restaurant New York City, James Beard Awards next year, if there's any justice. And listeners, if you're interested in what Sheffield Daniel Hum was whispering under his breath at the James Beard Awards, you'll have to send me an email because I can't use the words on the air. Same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.
Jazzin' Around with David J is next on The Edge, AM 1550.
It all happened so fast. It was loud and scary, and I was trapped.
Katie is a kindergarten teacher in Pennsylvania. She was a passenger in a car struck head-on by a reckless driver.
That's when I met my guardian angel. His name is Sean, and he is a paramedic. Sean was there for me when I needed him. He knew just what to do, and he knew the right things to say.
Choose a career in emergency medical services. Call toll-free 877-PA-MEDIC. That's 877-PA-MEDIC.
Pennsylvania needs more guardian angels. I had mine, and he made all the difference.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.